You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One who comes to us in order to bring us to completion. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, normally speaking, when you get a grade from a professor, you kind of expect it to fall within the range of about the first six letters of the alphabet. You're kind of hoping that it's one of the first ones, you know, A, B, C, D, maybe, if you really just want to kind of get by the skin of your teeth. And then finally, F. But when I went home one Christmas break, I received a grade on my report card that came in the mail that did not fit into those first six letters. It went a little bit further. And there on my report card, there was this letter I. Now, this was actually kind of a grace to me, because what had happened was I was in this class with Dr. Thurber, one of my English professors, and Dr. Thurber and I had kind of this rough relationship with one another, and I was kind of being not that great of a student, and so I had decided that I was simply not going to turn in this one paper that he had assigned to me, because I didn't want to do the work. And so what happened was that over Christmas break, Dr. Thurber gave me a call and he said, "Jay, I don't have your paper here." And I fessed up. I said, "Yeah, Dr. Thurber, I didn't do it. I didn't turn it in. I'm willing to take an F on it, and we'll just let that be." And Dr. Thurber kind of stopped and he thought and he said, "Well, I'm going to give you an incomplete." And I said, "What is that?" And he said, "That means that you have all of Christmas break to write this paper." And I said, I didn't want to write the paper. And then he said, "Well, now you have this opportunity. You can write the paper and you can turn it in. And when you turn it in, then I'll give you a grade and you will have whatever grade, so that I will disappear." And this was a grace to me because Dr. Thurber knew that without this paper that I was probably not going to get that great of a grade in his class. And so Dr. Thurber was doing something good for me, but something good for me that I didn't want to do. But it meant that I had to get out all of my books and I had to start writing that paper and starting to kind of figure it out. And so I started to think about that right about the time that report card came in, and this was still an era where those things were coming in the mail. And of course, when I get this thing in the mail, my parents went to see it. And my parents, they take a look at all of my other grades, and they're like, "Okay, that's all right. And then they get to the letter that is not in the first six letters of the alphabet, and they go, "What is this?" And all of a sudden, something that had turned out to be a grace in my life from Dr. Thurber was very much the law. Because I had to fess up to my parents. I was like, "Well, I didn't really want to do this paper, and I don't really like Dr. Thurber most of the time, and I just didn't do the paper." And so what he did was he gave me this I, and they said, "He gave you an I? You didn't do the paper?" And all of a sudden, there was a lot of, like, sort of accusatory language coming out of this I that was printed on that piece of paper. Well, where we are here in the letter that Paul is writing to the Philippians, there's kind of this sense here of there being something that's incomplete. There's kind of a sense here of something that is, not necessarily all together yet. Which is interesting for Paul writing this letter. We mentioned last week about how where Paul is with this letter. So basically where Paul is at is he's in the city of Rome. He's under house arrest. He knows that he's about to see the emperor and that the emperor is either going to say, you can go free or we're going to kill you. And he's probably thinking, well, I think I might be dead. Because usually when you're approached with those two options, the sort of negative side of your brain sort of kicks in. And it's like, well, I could live or I could die, and I'll probably die. And that's where Paul is at. Paul is sort of reflecting on life. He's reflecting on the state of the Philippian church, and he's kind of thinking, okay, well, what still needs to happen? What still needs to get completed? What still needs to sort of happen? And so Paul is writing to the Philippians, and he's saying to them, complete my joy. So Paul is acknowledging that there is something incomplete in Philippi, and that incompletion of the stuff that's happening in Philippi is that Philippi isn't quite operating how they should be. They're not operating in the fullness of Jesus Christ. They're not all little Jesuses running around loving one another, healing one another, forgiving one another, being humble to one another. Instead, they're being, well, sort of like you and me. And we're kind of in that moment of incompletion ourselves. We can kind of get what Paul is saying. And Paul is writing to these folks and he's saying, well, I want you to get completed. I want you to complete my joy. To which that feels a little bit accusatory. That feels a little bit accusatory to them, I am sure. It also feels a little bit accusatory to us. I mean, that's how we always deal with the law. It's how we always deal with the stuff in Scripture that says, well, you should. Because when we hear the stuff that we should do, there's a recognition that we didn't do it and we don't want to do it. Just like that paper that I didn't do and I didn't want to write. There's something in us that kind of fights against that sense of completing things. And a little bit of that is probably just a little bit of a sense of finally admitting to ourselves that, well, it's right for me to do this. That I actually, well, maybe should be doing the things that God is asking me to do. I should maybe be completing that stuff in my life that is currently incomplete. But that makes us feel bad. It makes us feel bad to recognize that we're incomplete. It makes us feel bad to recognize that we have sinned. It makes us feel bad to do all of that. And so a lot of times, we can end up really resenting the person who points that out. We can really start resenting the person who says, like Paul, well, go ahead, complete my joy. Please go out there, complete my joy by becoming like Jesus. And he writes probably the most beautiful, poetic understanding of who Jesus is in this entire book. In fact, in a lot of ways, this section of his letter to the Philippians is sort of a masterpiece of his work, where he writes this beautiful poem about who Jesus is, that he did not count equality with God as something to be grasped, but rather he became like a servant, even dying on a cross. And in so many ways, if you look at the entire book of Hebrews, it's sort of like that. That is the centerpiece of what Paul is putting in front of the Philippians. He's putting that in front of them so that everything else can kind of point back to who this Jesus is. That Jesus is this person who came to be humble, who came to die on our behalf. And now Paul is saying, be like that. But we're not sure. We're not sure that we want to be like that. We're kind of okay with not doing that. And we sort of resent Paul for pointing out that we still have a ways to go in our lives. That we're not perfect. That we still have some work to get done. And it's interesting because we do that to Paul, and we do that to our friends, but we have a real hard time doing that with God. We have a real hard time being resentful toward God because we're kind of like, well, he's God. He, you know, a real hard time to do that with Jesus. I know he died for me. And so what we do instead is we kind of do this other thing, where we say, oh, well, you know what? Jesus didn't really mean that. You know, all of these things that Jesus puts out as commands for us, all of those things that are the law in our lives, well, yeah, he doesn't really mean that stuff. You know, when Dr. Thurber called me up and he said, I'm going to give you an incomplete, he didn't really mean that he wanted me to write the paper. Except that he did. And except that Jesus does. He expects you to get this stuff completed. You and me, and that all drives us down into even more sort of, how am I going to get this done? How is this going to happen? Because unlike me writing the paper, we recognize that completing the law is something that we can't do on our own. Completing the law is something that we are always going to be incomplete about. And so we really start to wonder, okay, how does this work? How does this happen? If Jesus wasn't just kidding about those commandments, and yet he died on the cross for my sins, then how do I live my life? We go back and forth with those things. And it causes us to wrestle, and it causes us to think. And it causes us to finally get back to a place where we go, I'm incomplete. I'm not going to be able to get this done. I'm going to march back in front of my divine professor, and he's going to look at me and he's going to say, well, I gave you an incomplete. What happened? We're going to go, not much. Or we're at least going to go, well, we tried to do a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but it ended up that it wasn't complete. And that's when Jesus steps in. And Jesus steps in, and he's going to say to us, hey, you know what? That's why I became a human being. That's what Paul was writing about. That I became a human being. Became lesser than myself. I became a part of your story so that I could do this thing, so that I could serve you, so that I could die on the cross, so that you could be complete. And we know that that day is coming. And that day should actually give us a little bit of bravery, a little bit of courage, a little bit of a availability to say, well, I think that that's going to be done. So when I was typing out that paper, I got to this point where I was like, oh, this paper is done. And because it was Christmas break, I after that paper was done, I actually felt like, whew, I can go back to relaxing. I can go back to having fun. This thing is no longer on my mind. And yet at that moment, because I hadn't walked back into Dr. Thurber's office, at that moment, I was still incomplete. And that's where we're at in our lives right now. Is that all of the work's been done for you, but you're still incomplete. But it's a kind of different incomplete. It's an incomplete that shouldn't bother you so much. But an incomplete that actually maybe says, well, you know, maybe I'll try some of this stuff. Maybe I'll try working out some of these things that God has commanded me to do, because I know that I'm not going to mess it up. That at the end of all human existence, that God will invite me into the resurrection along with him, because he's going to complete everything that I've done. And I'm going to take a risk. I'm actually going to try some stuff that he's asking me to do, because he's actually asking me to do it. He's not just kidding. But I know that he's going to cover any mess ups that I do. And it's this great place to be to say, wow, all of a sudden the law doesn't make me feel like I'm an awful person anymore. And I can just say Jesus died for me and I'm going to try a few things. How freeing is that? To own our I. And to say, I am incomplete. But I'm not going to stay that way. And while I'm here, I'm going to try to do some stuff. Not because it'll mean a better grade for me, but because I've been freed to do this. Because I've been freed to emulate the humble Christ that Paul writes about, so that I can get together with my friends and I can try out what it means to live in Christian community and kind of see how that might be different than how I would live my life without these commands. And to do that in a place where the pressure isn't there anymore. Because I know that I've been made complete. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, as you go out from this place into your classes and into your work and into all of the other things that you're doing this week, recognize that God has called you and he is wondering where your paper is. And that he has chosen to give you that I. It's something that you can own. You can say, I am incomplete. But that he has also promised that on the day where you come before his throne, all things will be made complete for you. In Jesus Christ, who humbled himself so that he could serve you and die for you on the cross. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.